We go. Mark, Pau, Gasol, and Fremont. So both Gasol brothers joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What do you got, man?
What's
up,
fellas?
What do you got for us?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Memorial Day. Guess what? They would probably need a third Gasol brother to even make this a contest. What are Warrior fans talking about? Warriors in six. I want to say Warriors in three, and on the fourth game, Toronto's just going to lay down and die. Who do they got? Who do they got besides Kawhi, Warrior fans? This is like a younger northern version of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who do they got? They got Kyrie. They got Kyrie Lowry. They got my brother Paul or Mark or Jean-Paul Gasol. They got, okay, and that's all I got because I don't know who else is on that roster because it doesn't even really matter.
Well, I'll tell you, you've got greater, higher hopes. I would be willing to bet dollars to donuts that this is not a four-game Warrior sweep.
Oh, hell no.
No way. I think the popular choice is going to be Warriors in six.
Yes.
That's my I really believe that's going to be the popular choice.
Does that feel like a cop-out to you? I hate when somebody asks me for my prediction and I say, this is hypothetical, Warriors in seven. And they'll say, oh, that's a cop-out.
It's like, how is that a cop-out?
It's what I think is going to happen. You ask me what I think is going to happen.
I think a cop-out is Warriors in six because the sixth game will be played at Oracle.
Right.
And everyone wants them to win. Let's face it. We're so greedy. We don't just want them to win the finals. We want them to close Oracle with a championship.
No doubt.
We want it to be one in East Oakland. We don't want them to win in the six.
Mm-hmm.
That's how. So I think there's a layer of fan who says, you know what? Even if they go up 3-0, you know. Oh, wait, if they go up 3-0 because they're going to be home for game four, yeah, let's close it out. But if they lose game one or game two, they're like, that's okay. They're going to win it in six, so they're going to close out that. They can manipulate the series to the point where they can pick the game that they can win the series.
Right, and where do we want to celebrate most, right?
Yeah, and I don't even
right where Coz's lawn chairs are.
You know what, I'll tell you, the lawn chairs are still there. They've been there because I've said they're going to be there. I would be surprised. I know the Raptors were 2-0 against the Warriors this year, but I think
that means nothing.
There were, yeah.
Neither team was at full strength for any of those.
And Toronto, more than anything, is a completely different club as they've added Marc Gasol. They've kind of changed the way they do business. But our last caller, Mark Pau Gasol.
Mark Pau Gasol.
Who was saying, who do they have? Kyle Lowry's a pretty darn good player. Okay? He's not Steph Curry, but he's pretty darn good.
But when the chips
he's
are down,
quality.
I can't count on him.
You don't think so, huh?
No.
Really? I thought that was DeMar DeRozan that you couldn't count on.
No, DeMar DeRozan is an entity unto himself, and Kyle Lowry seems to, he's a follower, right? He was the Robin, if you're going to go Batman and Robin. And it seemed like when DeRozan would either cool off or shy from the moment, and he did shy from moments. There were times when you could tell he did not want to take that shot, and he would, hey, it's nice to have Kyle Lowry standing next to me because he's an all-star too. It's the smart basketball play. Okay, well, Lowry didn't want any part of the shot either, and they ended up hurrying it to Van Vliet, and the shot clock went off. And that one possession, Coz, during, I think it was the finals. Yeah, it was the finals. That one possession told me this team with these two guys as the lead dog are never going to get it done. They're just not. Because Lowry is a follower, and the guy that he's following, just he folds like a pup tent.
Wow. You're down on that guy.
I am.
All right, so here's what you got for the Raptors. The best player in the series is Kawhi Leonard, hands down. He's going, if his knee can handle it, he's going 40 minutes a night.
Sure.
And the way they split this is, it's game, day off, game, then 2 days off, then game, day off, game, then 2 days off, then game, then 2 days off, then game, then 2 days off, game seven.
I like the every other day.
I agree with you. And what the NBA has said to the every other day scenario is, it's every other day if you are in the city for multiple games. So the Warriors will go to Toronto. They will play on Thursday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Once you change venues, we give you a travel day, then we give you an extra day, then you play a game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be 2 days off, then they'll play in Oakland, day off in Oakland, another travel day. So you get the travel day, day off, play a game, and that's when it just goes back and forth. Remember, it used to be 2-3-2, yeah. Now it's 2-2-1-1-1. And so they give everyone the extra travel day, and so that's how they're going to make this. And it spreads out a little bit, but in a finals, I will tell you this, as much as I love every other day, and I really, the NHL playoffs, which begin tonight, I might add, of two teams I hate, the Blues and the Bruins, so I might not root for either team.
Why?
I just hate them both.
Really?
I'm sick of the Bruins. If Boston wins it, they will have won the World Series, the Super Bowl, and the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
And that's, quite frankly, disgusting. Okay?
Unless it happens here.
So the greatest team trophy in North American sport is the Stanley Cup, and they would win it. And the Blues, I just hate because I'm a Blackhawks fan.
How tall is the Stanley Cup?
That's a good question.
Like 3 feet?
It's pretty big.
Than that?
Yeah, it's 35 pounds, I think.
Yeah. Bottom heavy.
Yes. That's how they like it.
Isn't there some rule about this, the Stanley Cup, that you can't... I mean, people have done everything with and to that cup, but I think there's like one original sin that you cannot commit against
the cup. Oh, I did
not know.
And
I'll have to look that up.
Because I do think many of the original sins... The original sin has been done.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Somewhere along the way.
In an airport bathroom, perhaps?
Wow. Getting real up in here.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got more of that coming up. We're going to hear more from you. We're going to go over the Raptors and the guys they're going to play and just how deep they will go. And we gave you the scheduling for the finals for a reason. I think the Raptors are going to narrow it down. One of the claims is that Toronto is a deeper club, and that's going to help them. Mm-hmm. Is depth really the Warriors' secret weapon in this series? When we continue, Michael Urban, Jim Cozumel, your calls at 888-957-9570, and you are doing a great job on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, on a respectful Memorial Day on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Urban and Cozumel.
What is this we're listening to?
I don't know. The birth of EDM.
Listen, if it ain't respectful American music or Drake, I don't want to hear it.
Drake.
I want to hear from the halls of Montezuma.
Playing Drake is disrespect. We
haven't gotten damn about this, no damn Drake night
to any level of satisfaction for me. I think we need to. I think we need to chew on this a little bit. I'm disturbed that you are pro Drake, and that you're okay with him giving the coach a shoulder massage during the game, blocking the view of those poor people of Toronto that have paid their hard-earned dollars to watch their guys. But no, I can't see because Drake's fat head is in the way. Why is he on the court?
Wow, that's mean-spirited.
Tee that guy up, tee him again, get him out of the building.
You know what? Thank you to there was a texter. I got the dates wrong on one of the games, and it's game two. They're going Thursday, off Friday, Saturday, playing Sunday, not Thursday, day off Saturday. Well, forget it. I'm not going to watch that. It's too many days off. I'll have lost the jam. Thank you to the 925 or whoever texted that.
Hey, Jim, if you miss any part of any Warrior game.
I don't care about no damn.
From the past decade. Okay, just come to my house. I've got it saved.
Seriously?
We'll watch it together.
How will you prepare for this? Because there is no host at 95.7 The Game who watches and rewatches and breaks down Warrior game tape more or like you do. So how much will you, like, honestly, like, this is like a 10-day, you know, we're on a 10-day respite from anything Warrior.
Yeah, it's rough sledding.
I mean, there's no real new news.
I've watched, I think it was a game three of the Rocket series.
Clayface is the only thing that was worth this time off.
Can we get the clay scaffolding again just for fun?
That guy is awesome. When he signs,
I can't believe we haven't worn that piece of sound out.
When he signs with the Clippers, it's going to be a tough day around here.
Stop it. See, now I know you're just trying to stir things up. You got Kawhi as the best player in this.
But he is. He's the best player in this series.
No, he's not.
Who's the best player in this series?
KD, Steph, Draymond?
Okay. You got their numbers tattooed on you like Drake? Also?
That's just weird.
I'm sorry about no damn Drake Knight.
Thank you, KD. That's a little bit too Stan for me.
Semper Fi. Thank you, 415. It's okay to say Happy Memorial Day. I always vacillate on that. You know, I have a hard time saying Happy Memorial Day. But the you know, guy says, you know what? Those who gave the most fought for us to celebrate our life. Semper Fi. And you're right. They did. They would want us to be happy, right? I'll tell you, you want to see a movie, you want to understand a little bit about war. And there's a film put out by Peter Jackson called, I believe it's called They Will Not Be Forgotten, where he took original old black and white film from the era, colorized it to make it more up to speed so we can kind of identify with it, and then put actual voices and tones of the people in the scenes. So they knew it was a platoon from a certain part of Ireland. They went to that town in Ireland to get actors from that town to play the voices of these characters. And it's from World War I. It's called They Will Not Be Forgotten. It is a powerful, powerful film with original film from World War I. And it tells you a little something about just a small snippet of war. And I highly recommend it to anyone in the listening audience right now. I believe it's something that should be shown in all schools throughout the world about the tragedies of war and what men and women have to go through.
What's the name of it again?
Oh, They Will Not Be Forgotten, I believe is the name of it. And Peter Jackson, who is the Lord of the Rings director, is the guy who did this. It became his labor of love. And it's just an amazing movie. And at the end of the movie, there's another half hour of him sitting down and explaining how they did this and what they came up with. It certainly is worth watching at this time. There are certain times of the year where I like to watch film. I have a film minor.
Yeah.
And, around Lent time, I'll watch The Passion of the Christ, which is a very difficult film to watch. There's a lot of pain there.
Mm-hmm.
But around Memorial Day, to see a film that doesn't trivialize war, it gives you the truth or some of the truths that we can handle about war, I think that's a respectful way to go about the day. And that's why I usually end up saying have a respectful Memorial Day.
There you go. You solved it yourself.
There you go. Long problem right there, right? 9:22 the time. Michael Urban, Jim Cosmore. You guys come here to hear witty sports banter, and so we got to jump to it right now. But KD can't be considered the best player in this series because he's just not ready to play. But I will tell you, when you look at the Raptor roster and what they did in game six against Milwaukee with the chance to close out, they had, look, Pascal Siakam played 42 minutes. Kawhi Leonard played 41 minutes. Kyle Lowry played 41 minutes. They played eight guys.
Patrick McCaw played. No, wait. No, he didn't.
Dude, Pat McCaw, another finals for Pat McCaw. Straight up to God. Isn't that what he tweeted?
No, I didn't see that, really?
Yes, he did.
So his first 3 years in the league, he wins two rings and goes to the finals in the third one.
He's all about faith in God right there with his tweet. Did you see that?
Good, I did not see it.
Good on you. McCaw's all about being in the finals. He's the guy, right?
He's the guy.
He is the guy.
Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not the guy.
Oh, man. He's not the guy? But I'm intrigued to hear from you because everyone told me the Raptors' depth is what was going to be the problem against the Golden State Warriors for the Warriors. I think the Warriors still might have more depth.
I agree, and I've been beating this drum for the past couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks. You hear all about how the Warriors have gotten, they're playing more like the old Warriors, right? That's the thing that you hear from fans, and the ball moves, and everybody moves, and that's great. It's all fun, but it all boils down to who's kicking ass on the defensive end, and Draymond Green right now is not going to allow the Warriors to get beat. He has some sort of clock in his head that determines, okay, based on how we've played the past two and a half quarters, we're down 15. He's doing math in his head like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover, right? Or who was it, Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind? He's calculating everything to where, all right, we can close this 15-point gap to 8 in the next four minutes. And that's, I mean, the Warriors could wipe out a 20-point deficit in 3 minutes if they get hot, right? I mean, Steph is that good.
Right.
And I think
when they're down 15, I'll give you an example.
I don't feel like they're going to lose.
Toronto was down 15 the other night. I wasn't certain they were coming back, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Warriors are down 15, I just reach for another handful of popcorn.
Right.
I'm like, I've seen this movie.
Because the show's about to start.
Yeah, I've seen this movie before. Right. It's like the build-up to the fantastic finish of a superhero movie,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
It's like, the Brakes are finally going to beat the boys, and I just reach over and grab another handful of popcorn, and I shovel it in my face, and then I go, all right, well, there's that again.
Is it Skinny Pop popcorn?
No, it is not. It is not. Do you go with the Skinny Pop?
No. Come on. I'm not really a popcorn guy.
You're not a popcorn guy? You know what?
You know I say that just so I can hear you come back at me with it, right?
I know. You know what? My daughter makes they use the coconut. Is it coconut butter? They put the coconut oil in the pan, and then they throw the seeds in there. It's pretty tasty that way.
Wow, sounds good.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. Heart healthy.
I saw an Ayesha Curry mention on the Chilton Autobody.
Well, it better be nice.
Text line. Will Ayesha Curry be wearing a We the North t-shirt beneath her husband's jersey?
Is she Canadian?
I don't know. Why would she be? I mean, I need context. Ayesha's name being in it caught my eye. I believe that Damian Jones will be special guest star. That Alters, I think he's trying to write there, right?
Yeah, they're saying they will not grow old. I guess that's the name of the movie where I said they will not be forgotten. It's they will not grow old. But either way, it's a great movie.
I have in my hands, Jim, the cumulative stats, and I know that you don't like stats, but there are nuggets to be mined out of this. I have the playoff stats for both teams. What are you laughing at?
Someone just texted, come on in, China.
What?
Come on in, China. That's one of my things about we're getting soft here in the old states.
You're going to have to explain this to
me. Yeah,
we're
off air.
All right, we'll do it.
Yeah. So, I somehow thought we were off at 10 and we're off at 11, so I've already started to pull the ripcord on the program. We have an hour and a half to go.
I'm not going to be here.
That was perfect.
Well
done.
How
did you do that? That was outstanding.
I know. That's solid work right there.
In my hand.
Yes.
You know what? Let's reward Gustavo Green.
True. We should have gone to you a long time ago. Gustavo, you have all the time in the world you need. Gustavo's out in Oaktown, the 510. What do you got for us, Gustavo?
What's going, guys? Good morning and happy Memorial Day. I wanted to talk about the Warriors and how people think it's going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't know if you guys agree with me.
No, I don't think any NBA Finals is going to be easy. You're facing the best team in the other conference, but I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm not taking this, super literal the way some people do, but I'm not hearing overconfidence from Warriors fans on this one. I heard a lot more overconfidence in last year's run-up to the Cavs series and the year before, of course, because they hadn't even lost a playoff game by then, but I'm not picking up the typical Warrior fan arrogance this time around. How about you?
Well, I was listening to the last guy that called in. He said Warriors in three, and then I was kind of thinking, like,
which is awesome.
I'm a Warrior fan. I'm a huge Warrior fan. I'm a huge Draymond Green fan, and I think Draymond Green is the key to win this finals. But I also think that the Raptors have some disadvantages. Like, for example, they're talking about their bench, and if you guys look back, I mean, game one and two, they lost. Like, their bench players had, like, 15 points combined in game one. Like, Fred VanVleet had, like, 3 points game two and three. I think the bench for the Raptors is going to be a huge steal. They have to be on fire. I mean, those guys had to be, coming off the bench and just coming in smoking hot. But I think Kawhi was playing, like, 40 minutes. So I think the Warriors... It's going to be a really good finals. It's just something to watch. I mean, I'm glad it's not the Cavaliers again, because we played the Cavaliers like 4 straight years. So I think Draymond Green is the key to this. I don't know. What do you guys think? Who's the key
totally
player, the underrated player that,
totally agree.
Come out and just...
Totally agree with everything you just said, Gustavo.
If Draymond plays in the finals the way he's played the past two series, it's a wrap.
Either it's that quick, huh? It's that.
Yeah, okay. I don't think it's going to be easy, though. I think easy is the wrong word.
I hear you there. Here's Gustavo's point, though, where he talks about the bench of the Raptors. In Game 6, the one that the Raptors won to get to the NBA Finals, the combination of Powell, Ibaka, and VanVleet coming off the bench were 12 of 18 shooting, were 5 of 6 beyond the arc, and combined a plus 21, and they're the only three guys who played off the bench for Nick Nurse's back rub team. Drake might have gotten a few minutes in there.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake Knight.
You listen to me, Kate. You listen to me, Choir Sultan.
Can I hear that one more time?
Give me.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake Knight.
Give me some. Hit that button over there.
Oh.
There you go.
The microphone button.
I know. That's okay.
It's my first run at this.
That's okay. But here's my deal on that. They used three guys in Game 6 because they knew they needed to win. Miller, Lynn, McCaw, who's going to another NBA Finals, Michael. Did you see that? And Meeks.
He didn't want to play for the Warriors, Jim.
No, he did not.
It's not challenging enough.
No. No, it's not. Sitting on the bench for the Raptors is far more challenging.
Totally. Do we have the mashup? Can we get a Kawhi's laugh mashup? Just...
This.
Oh my God.
Who did so that?
Who did that?
Who has time?
Apparently they do, but nobody's claiming responsibility for it.
I've got to know who sits at home with the time to do that stuff.
Home? They're here doing it, man.
No, man. He got it off the internet.
Oh, really?
They did.
So that's not your work? Oh, jeez. I'm out.
Now, all of a sudden, it's not as exciting to you, is it? But we're good, but take that the difference between what the Raptors did to get to their finals and what the Warriors did to sweep Portland. I know they needed the overtime session. And yes, Klay played 46 minutes, Steph played 47 minutes, and Draymond played 43 minutes. And you can assume that they will do much the same, even though I think they played all 5 minutes in the overtime session, so you minus those by five for the regulation time. But here's what the Warriors had coming off the bench. Jarebko, Looney, Bogut for 9, Quinn Cook for 14, Livingston, even though he's not the old Sean Livingston, played 22 minutes in that game. Evans played 4 minutes. I think even though we have been sold a bill of goods that the Raptors' depth is the one thing that is going to be able to give them an edge against the Golden State Warriors, does that strength actually belongs to the Warriors?
Yeah, and it's because, look, Steve Kerr and his staff, when they got ready for the season, you sit down, you have your meetings, here's what I think the rotation should look like if everybody is available, right? You have your ideal to start the season.
Right.
And your ideal includes everybody being healthy. That's great. It's going to work. They're going to be strength in numbers until somebody of significance goes down. Can you think of, I don't remember very many stretches of this regular season, Coz, where the Warriors weren't dealing with a fairly significant injury to one of their stars, right? And so that means Steve hasn't had the luxury of using the bench the way he drew it up before the season started. So it's like if your closer or setup guy goes down, what do? You just move everybody up one.
Yeah, everyone gets to go. Your seventh inning guy is your eighth inning guy, and your eighth inning guy is your closer.
Same thing with the batting order in baseball, right? If your leadoff guy stinks, you drop him down, and everybody kind of just moves up.
Is that it? Was that what happens?
With Bochy, it certainly does. He just next man in.
They got issues, though.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
No, but I think the Warriors now, they've gotten used to, and I know they're still dealing with, my God, Boogie being out, KD being out, Iguodala being out. But for some reason, I think Kerr has found his pocket with this bench, and he's got a good handle on it. He knows to anticipate certain things that are going on the floor. Like, obviously, Ron Adams is probably the guy paying attention to who's got fouls, who's in foul trouble, or whatever. They have a contingency for every single one. Probably the newest contingency to this plan is, what do we do when Steph gets into foul trouble? Because he's going to get into foul trouble. And they need to... He can't get into foul trouble in this series. He just can't. But they're a deeper team than I think their own fans give them credit for. They've been great because Kerr in the playoffs is using them the way he idealized it at the start of the season. This is what he wanted. Finally, he gets to do it.
Well, but is it? This has been a weird year.
Totally.
Right? As weird as it can be for a one seed in the West who has won a bunch of championships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that sounds odd, but Durant and Klay played the most games of anyone in a Warrior. I'm sorry, Kevon Looney actually did. But of the key guys, those two played 78 games each. Steph missed 13 games this year. Draymond missed 16 games this year.
Wow.
Iguodala missed 14 games this year. And those are the key, you know, Livingston only played 64. So those are the key pieces. Same thing with Cousins, all those guys. And I just want to make sure I've got the right year in here because I might. Yeah, Cousins played. You know how many games Cousins played this year?
15?
30.
30.
He played 30 games this year.
And one playoff game.
How many times did they ever, which is, you think about a guy's career who was cursed, right? You think about a guy. Now, some of his issues are self-inflicted wounds. So we should point that out.
Right.
But, man, I got to tell you, that guy who goes to, what, 7 years at Sacramento and they don't even sniff the playoffs, gets shipped to New Orleans. The 1 year they make the playoffs, he's hurt and doesn't play in them. And then he goes to the, you know, the panacea of all teams, the Golden State Warriors, where you're guaranteed the playoffs.
It's a lock before the season even starts.
Exactly. You get healthy, you play how many games?
30.
And then in the playoffs?
One.
One game. And you tear your quad.
So basically what Boogie's season here was what Bogut's season was in Australia. He played 30 games.
Yeah.
And so he's perky as a daisy right now and fresh. Yep. Is that what we're going to get from Boogie when he's healthy?
So I guess my greater point to that is when at all did Steve Kerr and company have their core that they wanted to play with for an extended amount of time where they got to play the way they wanted to? At the start of the playoffs? Near the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs? Was that it? Because remember, at the start of the playoffs, we had a problem against the Clippers.
Yeah, I think
KD wasn't shooting enough.
I think the Clippers, that series was so necessary to kind of
recalibrate?
Yeah, to just shake the Warriors. Like, guys, this is real. This is happening right now. We talk about flipping the switch and having strength in numbers. Where is that? We need that now.
Yep.
And KD certainly received the message after game two and just went on a spree. And we get one of the greatest lines of the season was, I'm Kevin Durant, right? I mean, everybody has poked fun at that, but a very simple statement, but complex at the same time. And I knew exactly what he was talking about, but I'll bet you there's 10 other people that think they knew exactly what he was talking about, and it's totally opposite of what I'm saying. Because you can't read that man's mind.
Nope. Bunch of flip switchers is what they are.
You dirty flip switcher.
Exactly. That's not a bad one.
I like it.
Yeah.
You got to have dirty in front of it, though.
You do, you dirty flip switcher. So it all gets rolling on Thursday, and we're going to have it for you right here on 95.7 The Game. And it is going to be full-blown, all-out coverage. I know starting tomorrow, I mean, the rest of the day we're going to have a ton of it, but right, starting tomorrow morning with Joe Lowe and Dibs, you know they're going to be going crazy. Hey, and how many of the shows here are going to what they call Hogtown, Toronto? The six.
One?
Is it Bonte and Greg?
I think so, yeah.
We got to get Joe Lowe and Dibs up there, baby.
What about D. Bruce and
D. Bruce and Ratto? Ray, I don't think Ray likes to travel.
Oh, no? Man.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I want to go. I know a lot about Toronto. NBC,
Greg loves to travel.
NBC,
oh, you said Ratto.
Ray, yeah, Ray, I don't think Ray likes to. I don't think he likes to.
Does Ray like anything?
He's got to have a secret list of, you know. He likes his pens. That's what he likes.
Does he have his list of five most impactful players?
You know what?
The I'm not done with mine yet.
Well, but I think on that list of five most impactful players, my point is the most impactful player in this series is Kawhi Leonard. He's the greatest player in this series. Is having the greatest player enough? For Cleveland, it wasn't. It was enough once, but only when he had the right Robin riding gun,
shotgun.
Sidecar, shotgun with him. I drank a sidecar before I went on
nice.
The air today.
But, good recovery.
Yes, thank you. But going shotgun. When he had Kyrie with him, they had their best chance, and they got the Warriors in the Warriors' home.
Mm-hmm.
Does Kawhi have a Kyrie? Who is that guy? Is Lowry good enough to step up and be the Kyrie?
Mm-mm.
Is Marc Gasol good enough to be the Kyrie? Because I do think Kawhi is the best player in the finals. He's better than Steph Curry. He's better than Klay Thompson. He's better than Draymond Green.
Wow.
He's the best player in the NBA.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard's the best player currently in the NBA. And I say that with the way the NBA is constructed. 34-year-old LeBron.
Are you saying KD isn't
KD
currently
injured.
Part?
Injured KD isn't going to do anything for you.
No,
it's like when I had laryngitis. Okay? You've got A-list star talent behind the microphone, but wounded.
Right.
I was giving you nothing. I couldn't give you anything. Danny kicked me off the air because of laryngitis.
You know, you've got a big mouth, you know?
So that's how I equate KD.
Yeah, but you had an impact, even though you were here and you felt like you were less than.
It was horrible. My impact was horrible during the laryngitis.
Okay, let me simplify this then. Kevin Durant did not do anything to his calf. We're entering the NBA Finals the way everyone would have liked him to.
Right.
For everybody healthy, do you still think Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the series?
No.
Basically
no.
Asking you if you think he's right. A better player than
Durant. No, I think Kevin Durant is the greatest player on the planet.
Okay.
But current Kevin Durant isn't. So I have to, like you were just saying, you have to move your roster up. Yeah. You have to change your lineup.
Right.
And right now, I think if this series were to put that list together, it would be Kevin Durant.
Right.
It would be Kawhi Leonard. And then it would be Clay, Steph, Draymond, in some order, depending on what you wanted to do.
So four Warriors and Kawhi.
Yeah. I don't even think it's close. But I can't do that because Kevin Durant isn't that guy anymore. You know what? Let me ask you this.
No.
No, I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you even think...
I always wanted to do that.
I know. Hey, let me cut you off right there. No. Do you even think he shows up at the venue if he's not playing?
KD?
Yeah. Do you think he sits on the bench if he's not playing?
Do I think he does or do I think he should?
Do I think he does? Think about it. And we have to break. When you continue, we'll talk about that. And we'll let me ask you this.
No.
How much will the national media use that storyline? Whether he sits or doesn't sit with his team.
Geez.
Get ready, Bay Area, for some of the most hackneyed national takes.
Breathless.
Unbelievable national takes that you're going to get about your team that you know better than them. Get ready for it. It's all coming up. Urban and Cozumel, we're here until 11 in the morning. 888-957-9570. You can always get us on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. We certainly hope your safe Memorial Day is moving along smoothly, and thanks for joining us on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Urban and Cozumel.
Now, I will say this. I know I have asked for only respectful, military music and Drake today. But if you could rock
and
some Hall & Oates, you can do that for me anytime.
He was rocking Hall & Oates yesterday, too, to the point where I swear this guy has a musical identity with our audience. Because every time I've worked with him, since maybe the third or fourth time, he kind of knows what music I like. And I will get a text about half an hour into the show saying, I see Joe's working today. I mean, that's impressive. They wouldn't know him from Adam. He could run up on them and slash both of their Achilles tendons, and they wouldn't know that it's the guy on the ones and twos at 95.7 The Game. What are you doing over there, Coach?
For that, no. No can do.
Singing?
I saw Hall & Oates in concert.
I can top you.
Yeah?
Bobby Vinton.
The Polish Prince?
Polish Prince.
Moja droga,
I knew you would
droga,
have...
Moja droga, yasha koham, means that I love you so.
Right.
I know Bobby Vinton's greatest hit of all time.
I'll bet.
He is the Polish Prince.
Saw him at the Circle Star Theater in San Carlos. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I saw Sinatra there.
Oh, my... Did you really?
Yes.
That is the perfect Sinatra venue.
I know. I saw Sinatra there.
In the round.
Yes, and I saw James Brown there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You've seen some shows.
I have seen some shows. I saw Prince and with Morris Day and the Time as the opening act.
For James Brown?
No. Morris Day and the Time was the opening act for Prince.
Right. Yeah.
And then I saw one of the great college concerts I ever saw. Devo, they were the first band to utilize video in their concerts.
Right.
Spectacular show at Michigan State University at the auditorium.
MSU, huh?
At MSU, yes. It was a spectacular show. Also saw Boy George and Culture Club.
Oh.
Which was a fabulous show at Cobo Arena in Detroit.
What did you really think of Culture Club?
I actually
did you like it?
Oh, love Boy George's. Has Boy George in Do They Know It's Christmas? His voice, he has the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
He has the voice of an angel. He does.
Who says that? Will Ferrell, right?
He does. You have the voice of an angel. And he does. Another suggestion on today being a respectful Memorial Day, you want to see a heck of a movie about war. I just watched it recently, 12 Strong. It's a story about, I think it's from a book called The Declassified True Story of the Horse Soldiers, 12 Strong. It's these 12 guys, they plop down in Afghanistan, and away you go. You got to get it done. And Special Forces, it's an amazing movie on what they do in the amount of time they do it.
Is that the one with Ben Affleck?
No. No,
that's a Netflix movie.
I don't watch Ben Affleck movies.
Okay. Come on.
He spoils everything.
Really?
That was possibly his one good movie. To the back to the Warriors and to the Raptors as we continue. Michael Urban and Jim Cozumel here on a Monday. This is kind of a day. It's hard to get ramped into the day because it's a holiday Monday. We're on together. That throws people off thinking it's Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what day of the week it is.
Dogs and cats living together.
Exactly. Which is a reference from a military movie.
Yes. Stripes. Well done.
So we're bringing it all back home with Urban and Coastal.
You can't teach what we do.
No, you can't. You certainly don't want to.
DeMarcus, full participation in practice yesterday.
So maybe it wasn't just a smokescreen. Maybe he will be available.
Do they have to be independent of one another? I think they could be tied, right? I think you might be on to something a little bit.
Is he a viable option to be a threat, or is he six fouls for Steve Kerr to use?
Yes.
Mm, tricky answer.
Now, I think Damian Jones, he'll make his appearances. He'll get his cups of coffee. It'll be... The thing is, now that you're at the finals and there's nothing, you can blow it out, right? You got the whole offseason to recover. This is when I think you start to see the elite coaches and their approach to the game. It starts to kind of morph in front of you. It becomes more of a tangible thing as opposed to just a philosophy, and this is how the Warriors do it. They share the ball. I think this is where Kerr tends to separate himself when series get tight or when they come of greater importance, obviously, as you move up. Why are you laughing? What do I got?
There's a lot of really good text here today. We got a lot of really good text.
I'm making the serious point about the serious NBA Finals, and you're looking at me with an S-eating grin.
Because you know me. It's 4 hours. I have a very weak attention span. Okay?
Squirrel!
And a weak bladder. So, I might have to get up and go to the bathroom at any point.
All right, go. That's
But the point...
Maybe that's why they paired us together.
I'm kind of listening to you. And so
it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
It's on the Ocho.
That's his favorite drop.
That's a really good movie too.
Did you see the Spelling Bee one with Jason Bateman?
How many D's are there? Oh wait, the Spelling Bee one with Jason Bateman?
He's a grown man and he finds a loophole in the scripts.
I don't think I did, and my wife adores Jason Bateman. It was
called Bad Words. And
does he swears a lot in it?
Yeah, I mean, he's a dirtbag, and he's...
Maybe I'll watch it with my wife. Is that a Netflix, Amazon Prime call?
I mean, not the most romantic thing in the world, but whatever floats your boat.
That's okay. We like to laugh.
But yeah, it's a brilliant movie. I love Jason Bateman, and the reason he decides to do this, he's beating, 12-year-olds in spelling bees and talking smack to them big time.
Yeah, I love the idea.
And whoever wrote the screenplay or whatever it's called, brilliant, because you're wondering the whole movie, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? And the head of the spelling bee
Are you going to spoil this? Do I need a spoiler alert?
Yes.
Oh, man, you're killing me. Go ahead.
No. It's okay. You promise me you're going to watch it? Why are you busting up over there?
Thank you from the text line. You throw out an innocuous thing. And they are all, or you give them hardcore sports, they listen nicely. But you give them a, how many D's are there? Five D's. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. They got, like, people have got that ingrained in their head.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Nobody!
Michelle is the name of his muscle.
Where is this coming from?
It's from Dodgeball.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Look how many different numbers are chiming in.
It's, I know. Everybody,
you never know what's going to strike a nerve with the audience.
No, you don't.
Especially on a holiday.
No, you don't.
You get
no,
a
you
special
don't.
Type of person listening to Sports Talk Radio on Memorial Day.
And thank you very much for doing that.
Right?
Yep. I'm all over it. So your point continuing being on, you know, Jason Bateman's point, and I'm sure it's going
to
lead
to
a sports point.
Okay, so the, yes or no?
No, my ankle hurts. I'm working with a broken leg.
Okay,
and
it
really hurts right now. So.
Hey, will you just suck it up like Steve Kerr does?
I know.
Come on.
I know. Exactly.
Over the course of the movie, the conflict between the guy who runs the spelling bee and the 30-something-year-old who is, you know, manipulating a loophole
right.
to turn it into a mockery, we find out at the end of the movie, the guy who runs the spelling bee, it's Jason's dad. So he's got daddy issues. And he took it out on a bunch of 12-year-olds at a spelling bee.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Are you still going to watch the movie?
Maybe.
You have to.
It's that good?
Yeah, a money back guarantee.
Because like I said, my wife's a big fan. She would leave me today for him. So.
Really?
Oh, not even close.
Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, you know. Well, I've been, you know,
good
I've
for
been,
her.
Yeah. You know what? You can go. You go right ahead. You can get that. Who am I to stop you?
That's a little bit of a feather in your cap, I would think, right?
I think I'm equal to him. But if she makes that choice, what can I do?
I think he can provide a more stable financial situation because, you know, he's in the movies.
Yeah. If you like that. If you like handsome dudes who are on film.
Yeah. And 5 feet. Have you ever noticed how short Hollywood stars are?
I could be a Hollywood star. That's what you're saying. I
see it all comes back to Coase eventually.
I know.
I love working with you,
Coase. Why are you wasting your time in Northern California when you should be on Hollywood and Vine being discovered?
Thank you. Yeah. With some short shorts. Like, did you see Steph Curry was wearing short shorts the other day?
Was he wearing his twos? Because was it the Curry twos or the Curry threes that were dad shoes? I think they were the twos.
The all whites?
The all white dad shoes and short shorts?
They were like nurse shoes.
Was he rocking Stocktons?
No.
They weren't that short?
I forget. Actually, the pitcher cut off the lower part of his legs. But it was a great look. It was all Warriors. It was like custom gear. But the shorts were like the John Stockton, Karl Malone length shorts.
Yeah, that's what I want.
And Draymond was just all over Steph. Just
everyone?
Running. Draymond wears suits with shorts. He can't talk about anybody else's gear. He lost that, right?
Let me just say that there's... I think the NBA should go back to the Stockton length short. That's my belief.
Do they have the option, do you think?
I think they... You know what? I don't know anymore. I'll be honest with you. I don't know anymore.
Magic Johnson doesn't get enough credit as he deserves for the short shorts he wore.
Good point.
Nobody really noticed that about him. Maybe it's because he's so tall, but man, they were so short and they were so tight.
Yep.
I don't know how he moved in those things.
All those guys.
Kurt Rambis?
Rambis had the same thing. Worthy. Byron Scott. That's when the NBA was the NBA.
How did that team ever lose?
I just watched I don't know if it was a 30 for 30. I got caught in the middle of it, the old Celtics-Lakers battles.
Yeah.
And they were showing...
That is an awesome 30 for 30.
That's a really good one.
Two parts, right?
I saw, again, I was in and out because I just happened to be home and I flipped it on, so I caught the middle of it. It was the game where Magic gets the ball and goes left to right through the lane and rolls the running hook up to hit the shot.
Junior skyhook?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think Chick Hearn's call is they get the ball to Magic, and he goes... Left to right through the lane, just like I thought. Like, Chip always threw in I knew what they were going to do. He was
really?
Great. If you go back and listen, one of the great all-time announcers, but if you go back and listen to him, he had a lot of those things where, I knew this was going to happen. This is exactly like I thought it was going to happen.
Right.
He did some other things in
interviews. Dude, you're Chick Hearn.
Yeah, I know. He did some other things in interviews that I won't say on the air, but I'll tell you in the break.
Okay.
All right. You're listening
That's a tease,
to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Michael Urban, Jim Cozumore, and you here on a glorious Monday. It's a great day. We get an extra day off this week.
No, we don't.
Thanks to the...
we're here.
You know what? But I got to be honest with you. I mean, I think people get it by now. We're not really working.
Right.
We'd be doing this anyway.
Exactly.
You know, and so this is one of the great joys of what we get to, you know, yesterday, even though the Giants are a bad baseball team, my job was to go watch a baseball game and then talk about it with two guys who used to be major league players. When you define your job that way, it takes a little of the shot. It takes the hard work part out of it. You know, even though hours, like games can, this sounds crazy, games can stink because in baseball they can go extra innings, there's no clock, it can play forever, and that part of it sucks. But when you define your job as, I got to go watch a game and then talk about that game with two guys who played, that's a pretty cool job.
No doubt. Who's your favorite guy to watch a baseball game with out of the guys that you work with?
It's hard to break that
down. The ex-players.
I mean, I will be honest, they're all great. I mean, when I do A's stuff, I mean, it's funny because, like, Bip, you're just sitting there and organically they just talk at the TV, and that's what happened. Like, you see what happens. Or when something goes wrong, they say what, he missed this and that. So, I mean, Flan is phenomenal.
It's funny that you mentioned Bip because I had seen him do his thing on TV for a while, and I felt like I was working with Bip quite a bit, and I felt like he was starting to fall into the trap that a lot of ex-athletes fall into. You get hired to do TV work, and the reason you got hired is because you have a perspective unique to our audience. You actually did this.
Right.
So you can speak to how difficult it is and what they might be going through, but sometimes players don't look at it like that, and nobody with, if you're lacking direction, their default is to mimic the sportscasters they've seen their whole lives, right?
Sure.
And so they're trying to do what Jim Cosmore gets paid to do instead of being the ex-pro athlete to provide that perspective. Sitting down, we had something of a conversation like that. But now when I sit down with Bip Roberts, it's like put a hot mic on that guy an entire game and the audience will be 10 times smarter about baseball. And you get big doses of it in the green room.
All the time. And I'll tell you the best time I had doing that of all the sports, I used to do a Raider post-game show with Bill Romanowski and Lorenzo Neal. So you had, you know, a heat-seeking missile defensive player on one side and a heat-seeking missile fullback on the other side. So I had offense and defense. We would watch the games, and to watch these, they were doing what Tony Romo does for me in a conference room, and I just happened to be lucky enough to sit there.
Right.
I would listen to them, you know, Lowe's looking at the offensive side of the ball, they're going to do this. And Romo's debating him on the formation. What's going to happen? Play action coming. And it was an advanced course in NFL football is what it was. To listen and watch them watch the game. And I have always wished that we could take that element and make that what play-by-play is.
Yeah.
That's what, and Romo's the closest one. You know, we talk about Steph Curry changing the game of the NBA with three-point shooting. Tony Romo, in some ways, is changing the art of calling games, but it's so difficult. I don't know if very many people can duplicate it.
Yeah, I think it takes somebody, you have to be super aware, first of all, to know if that I'm the ex-athlete, they've brought me in for a very specific reason. And again, I don't know what your career path has been, but do you feel like you've gotten a lot of feedback from your superiors over the course of your career? It seems like everybody that I'm friends with that works in this business, they say, if you want to learn, you got